Poyser front court. Picks up the dribble, bounces to Morgan. Morgan fakes the shot, now goes baseline underneath. Left-handed layup. What a nice play by Dwayne Morgan.
You're tuned into the Marvin Menzies Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Presented by Findlay Toyota. Alongside the coach, here's Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick. Inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies. Run Rebels 5-2. And getting ready for the Sun Devils of Arizona State. We'll talk about them a little bit later on. Talking about the state of the program, we discussed the health of some of the players because that has become a significant issue early on, unfortunately. And talking about getting some of the young guys' experience. We'll get into some of the individual performances we've seen recently, and obviously most recently in the 89-81 victory over Southern Utah in the Rebels' first true road game of the year. And when you look at that game, and you look at the last few games, as he's gotten healthier, as he's gotten more comfortable, and as he's begun to, you know, as they say, figure it out, Coach Dwayne Morgan has established himself as a leader and as a force at both ends of the floor for the Runner Rebels, and it's great to see him beginning to fulfill some of the promise that he had coming out of high school.
Oh, 100%. You know, he is he's a kid that we just kind of connected. When I first met him, we had some common friends back in Baltimore, some guys that had coached him. And Dwayne's just a passionate, emotional, loyal, you know, young man who is every bit of, you know, kind of how he plays is who he is.
Yep.
You know, certain guys you can look and see their fire on the,
right.
And that's who he is, you know. So with guys like that, my history has been to really make sure that you develop a real relationship with them, because otherwise, you know, they can go left on you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they don't think that your instruction is coming from the right place of motivation, it could be drama. It could be a distraction. But he knows I have his best interest at heart, and he knows I want him to be successful on and off the court. And so he engages, you know, when I'm giving him, you know, the old gray hair guy is giving him some info. You know, he wants it, you know, just because of where our conversations and our connection.
Well, Robert, you and I have watched Dwayne, you know, over a couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. and seen the promise and seen the athleticism and,
right.
and all of that. And we've also seen, you know, him running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction sometimes. And I, you know, I'm picking on Dwayne.
I don't know anything about that.
I
love him.
Yeah, I know you do. And we love him too.
Right.
But what I'm going to say
is the growth
that we've seen,
mm-hmm.
almost with the presence on the floor. I mean, last night there were moments when on the defensive glass where he had that attitude of, this is my rebound, and there is
yep.
no way anybody else is going to get it. And we haven't really seen that consistently before from Dwayne.
Right.
And being a floor leader out there, you know, telling Jovan Mooring, hey, settle down, let me set a pick for you in a key situation,
right,
things
right.
like that. Things that I know, you know, show that Dwayne's growing up.
Well, and that's the thing I love about him this year is, you know, other than that first game when he got a little out of control because he was in a hurry to get back, we've seen, yeah, like you say, we've seen him out of control a lot, and I've seen him way more under control this year than ever before, and I think it only helps with his growing with this program.
Yeah, he's got it. You know, he's still got a long way to go. Obviously, we know that, but you know, you do have to give, you know, Dave and Todd and those guys credit, because you know he may not have shown those mm-hmm. those flashes in his freshman year, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't being told the right thing.
Right.
You know, so just because I come in, I'm not like the savior and we have this great connection and that's why he's playing well. I mean, to be fair, he's older.
Uh-huh.
He's more mature.
That's
and,
right.
And it's not like he's just – I guarantee you Dave was telling him some of the things I'm telling him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't. No one has a, you know, a lock on intelligence for these kids. So we're sharing a lot of the same message. I'm sure maybe it's the delivery, maybe it's the messenger. I don't know what. But I do know that this process started last year.
Right.
So in all due respect to the previous staff, I think they are also – he's also reaping some of the benefits now because of some of the lessons he got back then.
One of the biggest surprises, and I'm speaking personally, it has been the play of Tyrell Green over the last few games. Because
he's another one. Same scenario, I think. I think that he was – you know, a lot of the things that I'm telling him – I think he's heard before.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, I'm just glad it's working.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. But you know. But I think, it, I mean, you know, sometimes we forget that coaches and players are human beings.
Right.
And you think about your own experience. And, you know, when you're a junior in high school or a freshman in college and somebody tells you something mm-hmm. and it hits that big old granite block on your shoulders and bounces off, you know, it's one thing. A couple of years later, you're a junior, you're a senior, you understand that things haven't been working the way you've been trying to
That's
do them
right.
and you're willing to accept some guidance.
100%.
And the 50th time you heard something or whatever, I don't know. But that growing up process is a big deal. And, look, there are teams that do amazing things with freshmen. Mm-hmm. And it had, the game of college basketball has changed dramatically. And Coach, you know better than anybody. There are teams that, you know, you get a bunch of top-notch freshmen and you mix them right and you coach them right and they're the right kids. You can have incredible success.
Yep.
But, you know, the best thing about freshmen is that they become sophomores. And then they become juniors and they become seniors. And if you've got a team with a lot of experience, which I hope you will have, you know, in a couple of years,
yeah.
All of a sudden, that's a different animal.
Well, the mid-major teams that have the experience are the ones that upset the big boys.
Right.
And you look at Kentucky, and you could take them and what they're doing, and they're almost an enigma in college sports in terms of taking freshmen that are elite-level guys with egos and camps and their whole support system that they have there and what they've built. You know, they actually played Arizona State. Just recently, and so I watched that game last night on the bus on the way back, and Arizona State was playing Kentucky, and you would have thought Kentucky had 10 seniors.
Right.
I mean, those guys are diving all on the floor. Yeah. They're you know, I mean, they're sprinting their lanes. They're talking. They're just – and these are – obviously, they're freshmen, but they're unique freshmen.
Right.
But still, they're freshmen. And to see a program that has – embodied and embrace, you know, listen, you're going to come to college for 1 year or two
right.
years. And that's the paradigm that Cal has set up is really quite ingenious, you know. but it only works if you're at Kentucky.
Yeah. There's only one place.
There's
it
only
works.
One, right. one, one or it, two schools in the United States can even try it.
And it doesn't work every year.
No, it doesn't. I mean, when they won the national championship, I think the next year they went to NIT,
yeah,
right?
We played them.
Yeah. 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 Oh, that's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you look at that and you go, okay, well, That's the deal. I personally feel like if you can layer your classes where you always have some juniors and seniors that have been around, that get it, that understand it, and maybe even a couple guys that have redshirted a year or two,
right.
You're able to experience a high level of success continuously rather than, you know, going for all the apples, you
right.
know, at one shot. So that's just the way I approach it.
Well, I think that's smart. And Robert, as a player, you know that as a freshman,
right?
Was it just you weren't quite as smart as you were when you were a senior?
Well, no, you know what it is. I think with a lot of freshmen, they feel, hey, I come from a program where I was the man, so they think they're going to come in and do the same things. But like I used to tell my son, I said, when you got a team that has juniors and seniors, a coach is going. They're going to go with them because they can trust. They can trust that mm-hmm. they're going to do what's asked. And with you coming in as a freshman, you got to bide your time. A lot of kids don't like to do that now, but that's the way I was brought up. Yeah. I learned from the juniors and seniors.
Right. Well, and a lot of the juniors and seniors in this day and age aren't teachers.
Right.
To the younger
that's right.
kids.
That's right.
You know, Coach Jeter, who has been a very very successful coach. And is doing a great job for us. You know, I've watched his program over several years mm-hmm. and just how he interacts with the kids and the way he layered his classes and how the biggest thing that I think that I took from him, and I didn't know Rob before I hired him, but the biggest thing I took from him was how he went about his business with his guys, mm-hmm. you know. And when you look at freshmen and how they act and juniors and seniors and so on and so forth, now we'll talk and we'll share these kind of conversations. And, you know, I know I'm not on the island. You know, I know you know, there's a bunch of guys that have gone through this before. But the stories that you get and the different things that you try to do to get them up to speed quicker mm-hmm. and how you preach family and how you, you know, you stand behind the things that you say and you're honest with them and just things like that, yeah. you know, are being, you know, confirmed by sharing that, you know, with coaches like Rob.
Well, speaking of Rob, he happens to be here. And we're
is he here?
And, you know, you're amazing.
What is this? This is my life?
This is my life.
There you go. We're going to bring him up here a little bit later on the show.
Only the gray-haired people laughed at that one, by the way.
Right, right. They're the only ones that know
those in that bandwidth that still remember
what the show is.
Hey, if you're struggling with hip, knee, shoulder, or memory problems, then you need experienced surgeons Dr. Michael Crivetti or Dr. Fred Balduini at Crivetti Orthopedics to get you back in your game. Visit ICanAgain.com today. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Poyser bounces to Clyburn. Corner to Mooring, fakes the three, picks up the dribble, cross court to Poyser. He will take the three. He will make the three.
Welcome back to the Marvin Menzies Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. Here again with the coach, Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith. Coach Menzies taking a break, and we bring in my neighbor, Rob Jeter. Former head coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and now doing a great job as one of the assistants on Coach Menzies' staff. And welcome, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, neighbor. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thanks for coming down.
It's fun to be here.
Coach Menzies told a story about how you came to be on his staff. And it sounded like something – I won't say it was off of Tinder, but it was a little – it wasn't like you guys have known each other for your entire lives and, you know, you had a lot of connections. What's tell us the story from your perspective.
Well, it was – I was actually at the Cousins Center in Milwaukee. I was watching my son play practice AAU, Robert, my oldest son. And I'm sitting there, and I had some time to kill because practice hadn't started yet. So I'm thinking, okay, who's still looking for assistance? So it was funny. I text – Marv, coach, and also text Lon Kruger. And the next morning, I got a call from coach. And I was surprised. I was happily surprised. And then a couple hours later, I was on a plane coming to Vegas. So it was a good phone call.
Coach Kruger never called you back.
You know, you had to ask, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
No, he didn't.
You're
call.
You're talking about two of my favorite people in Marvin right, and Lon Kruger. Right. So that's all right. I just had a little fun with it. What was it about him? What was it about this program or this city, the opportunity to live near me? All of those things. What was it that made you decide to accept this position?
Well, first of all,
you've been a head coach for a long time.
Yeah,
and a very successful head coach.
Yeah,
and so this is a change for you.
It is. It's a big change, but it's a good change. And I think when I've met Marv, it was all about trying to find the right fit. Obviously, it goes both ways. When you're a head coach like Marv, you're trying to put together staff. You're trying to put together one quickly, but the right staff.
Right.
And being a head coach for 11 years, and I had a family to move, and we're not sure where we're going to go, so we're trying to find the right fit, and there's a lot of different factors I'm trying to weigh in, but the bottom line comes down, you want to be around good people. You want to be around people that share the same values.
Right.
You want to be around people that you can have fun with, and more importantly, people that you can trust. And what drew me to Coach Menzies was my assistant coach. My assistant coach had met Marv, this might have been 15 years ago.
Huh.
And they happened to be seated together in a gym watching a player, very, very famous player, one of the best players ever to play the game, LeBron James.
How about that?
And they were talking, and he's like, yeah, you need to reach out to Marv, Coach Menzies. And so just because me and my assistant had such a great relationship, I put a lot of trust in that. So I said, okay. Finally, after a week or so, I finally reached out. And once I met Marv, got a chance to get a feel for his personality and see what he was trying to build. You know, I said, this feels really comfortable to me. And I knew my family wouldn't mind coming out to Las Vegas.
They would not, no.
I could take them some other places. But I knew that they would enjoy Las Vegas. But for me personally, it was just making sure that I was going to be a person that I can really learn from, that I felt like I could help. And that we can just have a good relationship because that's so
very important
because you spend so many hours together.
Well, and I mean, not only in coaching and as players, as you know, anything you do, you want to be in a situation where you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you can produce.
Right.
You know.
What has been the toughest thing adjusting? I mean, let's not foolish. You were a head coach for 11 years, and there are certain things, certain responsibilities, and certain ways a head coach acts and certain things he does at practice and during games.
Right.
And I've watched you, and there are times you need to check yourself a little. And I mean, and you do. I'm not saying you don't. But that has to be one of the biggest adjustments.
It has. And there's been times where, official, they never miss calls, right?
Right, right.
If you ask those guys.
You're talking the wrong.
Yeah, don't ask John that question.
Don't talk to me.
If you ask those guys, they never miss. But I find myself, I'm standing up on the sideline. I'm like, well, let me sit down. or a player will do something, and I find myself speaking to him in a tone that's not appropriate. It's not the right way as an assistant. Right. So it has been an adjustment. But at the end of the day, you just have to be yourself. And I think as long as I'm trying to be helpful and trying to do the right things and my heart's in the right place, it all seems to work out. And that was probably the biggest hurdle to get over, was trying to get on a staff, being a former head coach, and trying to convince the head coach that's there now that I'm going to be able to fit in.
Right.
I'm going to be able to accept being an assistant. And so far, so good. I got my fingers crossed. You know, I'm here tonight, so I guess I'm okay so far.
Yeah, you've been designated as one of the appearances here on the Marvin Menzies Show. So I think you are doing okay. All right, now I got to ask you a question. What's with the headbands?
Headbands, huh?
Yeah. Okay, let's explain. Because
you've seen it. Huh?
I've seen it. You go to practice, and there are times when Coach Jeter will, in the middle of practice, all of a sudden sport a headband. And I don't know if Jim McMahon actually wrote the slogan on the headband, but somebody has
written. I was in Chicago during that time.
Okay. But somebody has written a slogan on that headband. And to his credit, that slogan generally relates to a point of emphasis in practice, whether it's blocking out or getting back or no dribble penetration or something. But the message is there.
As a teacher, you're always trying to figure out ways to get your message across. And it's not just get the message across, but get the student to really buy in and to learn. So we're just looking for creative ways. And for us, there's a few things that we're trying to get better at. And actually, I think we're getting better in transition defense. We're getting a little bit better there. And so that was the starting point. So just a quick reminder for the guys. Every time they look at me, I want them to think one thing. I want them to get back. And I want them to box out. That's for right now.
There'll be other headbands. What would have happened if one of your coaches put on a headband with a message like that on it?
Back in our day, we probably talked about it. We made it. We would have had to run for it, but we would have got together and talked about it.
You stick around for another little bit?
Sure.
We'll take a break.
Yep.
We'll be back. We got Coach Jeter. We got Coach Menzies. Hey, fans, Boyd Gaming, all about rodeo, which is about to be here. Rodeo, NASCAR, and entertainment. Visit BoydEvents.com. More of the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Jovan Morin passes down low to Morgan, out to Poyser. Jalen Poyser's three is short. Rebound to Coupet. Nice pass to Troy Baxter for the one-handed tomahawk slam dunk.
You're tuned into the Marvin Menzies Show on the Rebel IMG Sports Network, presented by Findlay Toyota. Alongside the coach, here's Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith, Coach Marvin Menzies back with us in just a moment, but visiting with assistant coach Rob Jeter right now, getting his thoughts about a variety of things. We'll turn our attention to some more serious stuff now and the state of the affairs of the Runner Rebels. You've heard Coach Menzies talk, and I'm sure you guys have talked at length about the program. Obviously, coming in, and you have a little bit of a unique perspective, having been a head coach for 11 years and coming in and seeing the state of this program as you and the rest of the coaches begin to build things. You understand that this is not a short-term or easy fix. This is a process that can take a little while.
It's definitely a process. I think the key reminder is to stay the course. You have to make sure you kind of insulate yourself, stay away from all of the distractions, and just really insulate yourself. Really make sure you stay the course. You have to build a strong foundation. You can't start trying to take shortcuts and do things, to try to get a quick fix. You have to understand where you want to be and just take the necessary steps to get there.
Yep.
It's hard to do that because there is a lot of pressure. I mean, this town is used to winners.
Yep.
This program has expectations, whether they are reasonable or not, and it has a tradition. And how, as a coach and how, as a program, how do you keep the players' heads focused right? And how, as a coach, do you keep yourself with the understanding that it is going to take a little time to get things where everybody wants them to be?
And put on top of that, you're competitive. Yeah. We're all very competitive. We all want to win. I think it starts with every day. Every day you come to practice, you're trying to figure out how you can be a winner that day, how you can be successful that day. And at the when you go home at night and you lay your head on the pillow, if you feel like you accomplished those things, you know you're on the right path. So it's all about each day picking a goal, picking something that you want to get better at, putting the work in, putting the time in, and then really spending at this early part of our program, spending as much time with the guys as possible. They really have to understand that we really care about them so that then now they can give everything that they have for us.
Well, one of the things when I first got here, Tark and the other assistants came to us and said, hey, we're going to write up a contract.
Yep.
Every day you have to give us 110%.
Yeah.
That means in order to give us 110%, you can't be out late at night. You got to get your work in class. You got to go get to class. And we had to sign that contract.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of kids signed it, but they didn't really, you know, they didn't really stick to it.
Right.
But it made us competitive every day. It made us more aware of our surroundings because, you know, with every kid that comes in here, there's a lot of things to distract you. But it taught us to concentrate on the things that were in front of us.
I use the phrase all the time, it's a lifestyle.
That's right.
You're trying to create a lifestyle of success. And it doesn't matter if you're playing basketball, if you're playing a game of pool, checkers or chess, in relationships. It's a lifestyle that you're trying to create where you're doing the right things, you're communicating the right way, you're representing yourself, your family, the UNLV,
the program
the right way. And if you can create those types of habits, then you're going to be fine because habits are hard to break.
That's
so have good ones.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on with the team right now. Obviously, the injuries to Christian Jones and Chekwune Dembele have made things difficult, not having the size down low. But guys are trying to step up, playing different roles. We've talked at length about Dwayne Morgan and his performance. Obviously, Jalen Poizer an off night last night, but spent some time on the postgame show talking about why that might have happened. As he had a rough night, the Rebels were able to overcome it.
Right.
But it seems like every game, different guys are stepping up. Troy Baxter gave the Rebels some valuable minutes, his contributions yesterday. Joe Vaughn, after a rough night the other night at the Thomas & Mack, has had a couple of good games in a row.
Yeah.
And Chris is getting healthier, and it's fun to see. That's something we haven't maybe seen with the Runner Rebels in a while, the fact that we different guys contributing in different ways each night.
And Dwayne Morgan's playing well. It's been a different person for us almost each night. Mm-hmm. And that's so if you look at the negative, okay, we do have some guys hurt. But what's the positive? The positive is that we're getting, as you mentioned, a lot of guys, valuable experience, valuable minutes, meaningful minutes that are only going to make them better basketball players.
That's right.
And we just spent a lot of time talking about that with Coach Menzies. In terms of overall philosophy of this program and direction, you guys, the whole staff, and I've said it before, I thought the best recruiting job that Coach Menzies has done is getting all you guys.
Mm-hmm.
His staff is really impressive. It's a group that gets along really well, has great resumes, great pedigree, but seems to really be getting it, and the guys seem to be buying into it. But in terms of what you as a group want to accomplish, not this year but going forward, talk about that a little bit in terms of the overall philosophy going forward for this program.
Well, first of all, it starts with communication and making sure, again, that you have a program built on the right foundation. And there's a lot that goes into that, right? You want to make sure you have good work ethic. Communication is key. I've said that over and over again because that's so important. And you got to have some fun. But on top of that, you have to make sure you have the right plan. So right now, when you bring a group together, it's formulating that plan and then now working the plan.
Right.
So right now, even though it's still early, we've had some time, we're still putting together the plan based on the personnel that we have. And the plan is on the court, the plan is in the classroom, and the plan's in the community, how we give back. And then the final piece is how we're trying to get the plan of putting together extra pieces in recruiting. So as we look at that plan, and Coach has done a great job of really, okay, this is how we're going to formulate that. Now we have to work it. So every night, you know, we go home, and for me, I'm taking more looks on the defensive side, but I'm also trying to figure out, okay, what pieces do we need to add that's going to make us better?
Right,
and
right.
that's the battle every day, and that's the fun part of what we do. And we have a great boss that we work for, so he makes it fun, and he makes it fun every day. So,
sounds pretty good. Well, we're thrilled to have you. Yep. Unofficial welcome to Vegas.
And, oh, thank you.
And thanks for coming down and joining us, and we hope you come down again. And
keep the noise up. Yeah. Keep the noise down up there on top of the hill there. He looks down on me from up there.
That altitude gets to him.
no doubt about it. That's Rob Jeter, assistant coach for the Runner Rebels. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll visit more with head coach Marvin Menzies. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Jovan needs to dribble. They're putting a five count on him. Now he puts the ball on the floor. Comes to the lane. Puts it off the glass and in. Jovan hit the deck hard.
Yes, he did.
Rebels lead by 7.
Welcome back to the Marvin Menzies Show presented by Findlay Toyota. Here again with the coach, Robert Smith and John Sandler.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and rejoined by head coach Marvin Menzies. The highlight, Jovan Mooring, who we probably didn't give enough credit for toward the end of the game last night, a couple of huge plays, and Jovan has bounced back after a rough night at the Thomas and Mack a couple of games ago to two good games, and showing why Coach Menzies was so excited to get one of the top scorers in junior college basketball last year on his club. And each game, he seems a little bit more comfortable and able to contribute at both ends of the floor a little bit more effectively.
He's getting educated. You know, he's learning, he's getting better. You know, as you know, he was a scoring guard and not a point guard previous 2 years in his career. So this is a transition for him. And usually, I would say junior college kids, and Robert, I don't know your opinion on this, but I think they usually take a full year to figure it out.
Yep.
At least three quarters of a year.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably beyond that right now. I think he's probably in the middle of this year, I'm hoping, before we get to conference, he's kind of in that zone where he understands how to pick and choose his spots. Because he really, I mean, he comes into the office every single day to get extra work on film. I mean, that's a kid who wants to figure it out. Yeah, every single day. I mean, there were days that, we're not at the office and he comes and we go, JoJo, we were not going to be here. He goes, yeah, but Coach, I got to just make sure I didn't miss you.
Just in case.
That's good. Obviously, I'm joking. But he's really all in his own, self-development. So I think that's when you got a chance to be special.
One of the things Robert and I have talked about and we brought up with you, and it takes time. Have you seen anything indicating that someone is stepping up a little bit as a leader on this team yet? And it's early.
It's a good question. No, that's a good question. Let me think for a minute. I don't want to give you just a politically correct answer.
That's a first. Not for Mark Coach Menzies. I'm talking about for all coaches.
Jalen, in some ways, because he admits his mistakes and he does it in front of the guys, and he'll apologize when he misses things. Dwayne, in the same vein, is willing to come into the locker room and go, hey guys, that was on me, or whatever. I think guys that are willing to admit their flaws are taking steps in their progression to leading other men. So I would say those two probably jump out at me a little bit.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. I mean, it is, because you need that, Robert.
Right. Well, with any team, you got to have a leader. But sometimes, it develops as you go along. My question to you, Coach, who's your surprise guy that has done things that you didn't expect up to this point in the season?
Surprise guy. That's another good one. You guys actually prepared your questions tonight.
I had this one last year. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, but it creates.
Robert's done now, you know.
But it's creating pauses in the show. Like, we don't want to do that. Yeah, I'm going to keep it flowing. What happened to the good old days? You just asked me set lobs. You're just throwing up lobs.
Right.
Jeez, man. All right. No. I'll answer it.
All right.
Next week. No. All right. So, surprise guy.
Somebody that surprised you this year.
Based off of what I knew about the kids coming
right,
in.
Right.
Tyrell.
There you go.
Okay.
Tyrell. I'd say Tyrell is the guy that jumps out at me as, he struggled in the beginning. So it's a surprise that he has said, whatever you want, Coach. And that's where he's at now.
Right.
But in the very beginning, he had a lot of pushback. He had a lot of, I mean, he was a great kid, and it was always respectful.
Uh-huh.
But he had bad body language. He was never wrong. He just didn't get why he was being critiqued. And, you know, you just sit with him and explain why.
Right.
Well, do you want to get better? Do you? I've been coaching 36 years. Do you think I have something to offer?
Exactly.
You know, and so it's really that simple. It is that simple sometimes to say, I love you. I want the best for you. I'm good, bro. I'm going to be here. I'm just started
right.
this journey, okay?
Right.
So, you know, either you're in or you're out.
Right.
And we've had a couple tough, I would say one tough month. My first month with him was tough. But I understood because of what he had been through.
Right.
He thought he was going to have 2 years. He only had one. He wasn't sure whether he was, you know, who I was, how we were going to do. So I get it, but here's what it is. Here's the contract, you know, and if you sign it, I got you. And if you don't, then let's find you another place to
right.
play. And he's all in.
But with some programs, you know, they'll tell you, hey, this is the way you do it. You don't want to do it. I got somebody else to do it.
And yeah, that's true. They do. Unfortunately, I only had three guys, so I didn't have that luxury.
Yeah. This is the way we do it. If you don't want to do it, okay, we'll do it.
Let's figure out another way.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about
nobody
it.
Else.
Let's
well,
talk
and,
about it.
And on the eighth contract, he signed it. So, no, he was great. You know, Ty is one of those guys that is just guarded a little bit. You know, he's been through the junior college route, and then he had to – had a change of staff twice. And, you know, heck, I would have been guarded a little
right.
bit. But, you know, after just these guys, you know, listen, their guts, their instincts are the same at 18, 19-year-old as they are at 50. Like, you either got that thing or you don't.
That's right.
You either know somebody is real or you don't, or you know somebody's phony or you don't. And he has that. He has good instincts. And so he eventually figured out after, you know, like I said, 3-4 weeks that – I had his best interest at heart. Now, don't get me wrong. He called a bunch of my guys. You know, he's a Canadian kid, and I had a bunch of Canadian guys in New Mexico
okay.
say, he called Tanvir Boulay, Sam Boulay. I mean, he talked to Matt Taylor. He talked to all of my New Mexico State kids.
Uh-huh.
And they obviously said things that made him drop his guard a little bit.
Right.
And go, you know what? All right, I'm going to trust this dude. You know, and then the next thing you know, he's playing really well.
Yeah, he really, really yeah. is. It's great to see. Hey, fans, remember, the MGM Resorts International is proud to sponsor the Teacher of the Game, an awards program designed to honor outstanding Clark County school teachers. A longtime supporter of public education, MGM Resorts congratulates this year's honorees and wishes the Runner Rebels a winning season. Back with our final segment, we'll talk about the Arizona State Sun Devils, and I'll ask Coach Menzies why every game is the same. When we come back, you're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel IMG Sports Network. Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies. Runner Rebels 5-2 getting ready for Arizona State on Saturday. Game time 5 o'clock Las Vegas. Time will be on the air at 4:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. All right, coach, the Sun Devils obviously step up in competition. Again, a Pac-12 team, a team that can really score it, shooters all over the place. Another road game, another chance, another opportunity for your team to grow again.
100%. You know, the season is a series of tests. And, you know, we passed 5 tests, and we fell short on 2 tests. But inevitably, your goal is to always win at the forefront of everything. No matter what the life lessons and getting better and all those kinds of things, we play the game to win the game. So Saturday's goal is always front and center is going to be to win. So we got to see what Bob Hurley has in store and go from there.
That sounds like a plan. All right, I'm gonna describe a game to you. See if it sounds familiar.
Okay.
There's a team. I don't know what team it is, but it jumps out to a big lead early. Right? Gets out to a 10-12 point lead early. Then the other team starts playing some good defense. Go to an offensive slump. They kind of catch up, and halftime, it's kind of a close game. They might even take the lead.
Yes.
Come out in the second half and play pretty well, maybe build a lead again, But then again, you kind of go through a scoring drought. The other team cuts the lead or gets it down to one or two with about 6 or 7 minutes to go, and you got to battle and claw your way to the end. I've seen that before. I'm not sure exactly where, but once or twice or,
okay,
you know,
all right,
five times this year.
I have the answer.
Fire away.
No, Michael Jackson had a song called Blame It on the Boogie. So you can blame it on the sunshine. You can blame it on the moonlight. You can blame it on the good times. You can even blame it on the fireworks. I have no idea what to blame it on, but we're going to find a way to fix that. Trust me. One of these times we're going to get out to a great lead. And hold it.
I got to tell you, when I started that, there was a little look of puzzlement on his face, and all of a sudden the light went on.
Right.
And it was like, I know what
you're
talking
about. Blame it on the boogie, man. I have no idea why that happens.
It's really remarkable, Robert, that we've seen the pattern. But the great thing is, each time during the wins, when that team has made that run, right, the Rebels have responded.
That's right.
And it happened again last night.
We have a mantra or whatever, you know, about creating our signature, and in our signature there's certain things in each letter that we have to be identified as, and we haven't completed the signature yet. I mean, if somebody watches us right now, they wouldn't say, man, they really do this well every game,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
So we're still identifying ourselves, and I think once we can put some more ink on that signature, then we can alleviate this.
Well, we'll see if the Rebels go through the pattern or try something different on Saturday as they take on Arizona State. Game time is 5 o'clock Las Vegas time. We'll be on the air at 4:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. That's going to do it for us here. Thanks to everyone here at Bailiwick for their help and their hospitality. Obviously, just love this place. It's wonderful here at the Orleans. Want to thank Randy Anthony back in our IMG Network studios. Sean Wyatt engineering alongside, for Robert Smith, for Coach Menzies, for Coach Jeter. This is John Sandler. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Saturday. Have a great evening, everybody.